Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sweet Discussions. That was Elton Zion's Someone Saved My Life Tonight, the shortened version. That song's almost 7 minutes long. And Elton John writes a very long ballad. And I'm supposed to say beautiful things about that song and Elton John. The thing about Elton John is, wake up and buy a book. There you go. Welcome to my show, which is on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for having us. And hope you're enjoying your money. Yeah, I'm at Team of Voices, which is sponsored by the AP Poetry Foundation. And we're very excited about that. It's a great foundation. Come join one of our contests. There's money and memberships to be won. Fabulous, fabulous work of art. It's just a hell of a guy that runs it, and we're very proud to be a part of this foundation. And I can tell all my great things I thought I was going to say is just rumbling out of my head. I'm glad to be back. It's been a rough couple of months, which is why tonight's subject is pain. We have it. We're fulfilled with it. We let it go. It comes back. We cause it. We don't do it on purpose. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we just look at somebody and go, you're a nasty little individual. Why don't you go away? So sometimes we do it on purpose. Whether we are sarcastic about it or we're angry or whatever, we can spew some pain on some people. I can be very sharp and very quick-witted or quick meanness. Be a mean girl. And I do it on purpose. They not make me angry sometimes. And sometimes I don't do it on purpose. Sometimes I'm just casually joking and people are like, I can't believe you said that to me. How dare you? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I would never said it if I thought you just experienced it. But, and sometimes we need to share it. And we need to let it go and lay it down on paper. And we are poets. So let me say hello to everyone I have. I have Pretty Bird, my girl on the side, who's normal, who I called this morning and went, please, God, don't make me do this alone. You're the queen. You know how to do this. And, of course, she said, I won't make you do it alone. Calm down. And then other things pursued, and we just laughed hysterically. But that is for a different show. And
it was a time. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. And then I have Sky here, which is wonderful, but she's going to say things and then run away because she can't be up past midnight. And that's the way it is because she will turn into a gremlin and then I can't feed her words. And so we don't want that to happen. And then I have the amazing raconteur who keeps us all in the puns of puns. And that's amazing. And then I have other people that are going to call me from down under, but they're probably having breakfast or something right now. So Hatter and AP are down under where the water goes a different way. And hopefully Hatter doesn't spin somewhere else. So we're very excited that they're down there. So let's say, hello, Sky, and what are you bringing us this evening?
Bringing you a poem, but I hadn't published, and I think I made some changes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop the link, and hopefully it's the same. Oh, I already dropped you the link.
Okay.
But I'm going to be reading from the book because I think I made a few small changes when I chose to publish it. So I did bring you a poem. I put it on your board. Do you want me to put it on the board?
Okay. Yeah, please do.
Okay. I only got 3/4 of the weight checking for my changes. So
you
have to listen very carefully. I'm sorry. Here we go.
That's all right.
All right, here we go. And thank you for letting me go first. I appreciate it. I'm alive today, despite going canoeing with 60 fourth graders. Okay, this is Brewster Brown's and Tater Tot Brows by Sky Darkholm. One. And since there were no paper leaves, branches sprouting tin pail lunches, initialed L. Frank Baum, and learned to bake tater tot meals when oven dials rivaled the heights of brow. Two. The girl down the street had punky Brewster Browns and unkept hair. Her potatoed mother wedged in a crack-toothed couch never bothered to floss, not with strings or clean linen or a mouth bar of truth. Just a pack of cancer twigs, yellow in walls, a chain of chuffing rings and burnt-out butts, gleaming as soapbox greens while roaches dug for crumbs, and skulked in corners like poison fed to little girls instead of rats, were shelled and shelling hands, those lover patrons with pocket rocks and white soot, sour breath, gap-toothed gums, and cratered teeth. They didn't need keys. All the doors were unlocked. Rooms that held corner shelves and rainbow bright and My Little Pony pets. But their eyes always held a darker terror. Secret morsels of arsenic swallowed by small bellies. Drops that red-rimmed eyes and blackened Brewster Browns. 3. We were bridged, but always traveled. I'd find her perched and parched on my box mattress, thirsty for the rays of warmth that bore in from curtainless window frames. Because, despite the lack of coin, fitted fabric, or total safety, my half-home still held love. And the mother who washed fingerprints from glass, who spent her time closing fissures of unfairness, settled for 2 part-time daughters. There were years of faltered foster smiles, short stints that always led back to parking lot lines and swings, playgrounds that make-believes that unpacked those stolen tresses and girl-like grins, those mimic words of learned abuse left silent on threshold rugs, those assumed norms of crumbling earth, footprints we both walked in different but familiar ways. Then came the day it was permanent. I called her sister and tucked myself in the gap of mattress and wall. Her bunk in Albany's mine. Years were spent in that ersatz bond of family, and Chester timbers and half-split hems of pink and blue. 4. It wasn't all at once, those boards that nailed themselves between, when you decided the past should be parceled and packed away. And in truth, long after separation of everything you once knew, I was still the only tether you reached for. You on one side and me on the other, bridged apart, holding those old wire cans till one day they were stretched too tight, and I saw the glimmering palm, phantom scissors ready to contemn, your Brewster Browns and tater tot brows snipping away all we once lived. End quote.
Oh, my God. Wow. I am almost speechless. That is filled with emotion and darkness. And it actually follows the plight and plight of so many children in our foster system, in homes that children hold on to any thread of love, whether it's abuse of love or hope of love, or, you know, kids are in situations where that's all they know. So to them, that is love. How do you not know that what your mother is giving you isn't love, but if that's what you think is love, that's love. You know, if, you know, 3 peas on a plate is called dinner, then 3 peas on a plate is dinner because you've never known anything else. And we can look in and go, oh, my God, child, that's horrible. How would you live this way? And they look at you and go, how does anyone else do it? And I just, you on one side, me and the other, you know, it just, I called you sister and tucked myself into the gap of mattress and wall. It just tore me apart. It just, that's a story of pain and sadness and yet hope. This child never gave up hope that, you know, she would have a sister, she would have a family. And I have homes for my grandmother who lived in a foster home. She was dropped off at an orphanage during the Depression when she was 4 or 5 years old. And she wrote poems like this, saying, I wish I had a brother, I wish I had a family, I wish somebody would come for me, I wish somebody would love me, I want to be someone's daughter. And so this really kind of touches my heart. Because she has memories of being a family, and then she has memories of not being a family, so she prays for it. This is very touching to me. So before I continue to blabber on, Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Thank you, sir.
So you chose pain, my sweet, for a show that's going to kill me. You know, I do not like to cry on air, so I'm hating you a little bit right now. However, you are a brilliant, brilliant storyteller, Sky. You're from the very first line. It kind of pulls you into yesteryear. I mean, even with your references to Punky Brewster, because that is a very specific time when we were young, and it takes you to a different mindset instantly. It changes the way the visions play in your head. And, you know, we all either were or know people or a person or whatever who had, you know, a piece or two or all or some of that unfortunate scenario of those open doors with the trail of guys that some were sinister, not to be trusted, that mom who was a little, you know, a little more
respectful
of being a parent than a parent should be, you know, the critters that you know, scattering the lights turn on and having to cook whatever there was for yourself when you're 6 or 7 years old. And it is all painted there in words that are so beautiful that I am just proclaiming right now, I'm not reading after you. So there.
Thank you. Thanks, Whitaker.
You're very welcome.
It took many years to write this one.
That tends to happen when it's hard to see in black and white, because things become concrete and some of us take a lifetime to be able to even pretend to want to see that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm happy for.
She's saying she's not reading after that. How am I supposed to comment after that? I mean, you know, I love when you tell a story like this, because it's obvious that there's a lot of personal experience embedded in it, whether it's, you know, exaggerated or you know, embellished or whatever. But it's the emotion that you carry through the story that, you know, whether you've experienced it personally or not, you could see that you're putting yourself in that position in the story as if you did go through it. So it's unbelievable, like, you know, that happens to you, regardless of if it's good or not, and that's one of the things that makes it possible. And I mean, you know, the childhood and the memories, the whole thing, it's just, it tugs at you. And again, it's hard not to be able to back it now and quote like specific things. But it's debatable. And, you know, I really appreciate the work.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, so Sky has to listen to my poem because it's mandated. So I will read. Not that I want to read after that, but I will.
Guys are fine.
More abstract. Oh, good Lord, that was just incredibly beautiful, just so that you know. And I'm glad it was published because it needs to be published.
I published it. So I'm in the works of publishing my own book, but I published that in an anthology because I didn't want it going. It's very true, every line, not exaggerated, and people that are involved will know exactly what I mean. So I actually hid it away in publishments, but yes, I did. I don't want.
Well,
my,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I understand.
Your book as soon as you're done, I'm just saying.
I'm sorry?
I'm
going
to need the link to your book as soon as you're done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, me too.
That won't be in there, that one. I'll ruffle a lot of feathers with that one.
Yeah, the fact that you're happy with the book,
I understand that.
You could write a word on a page and I still want it. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
All right, so this is my little pain poem. It's called Pain was the Emancipation to Self-Discovery. The moon yawned as changing shades of sunrise began to pinprick morning light into the fabric of the darkness. My brown eyes began to fade and my body fell into the soft glow of the earth. Corporate soldiers strain as they uphold the unknown chain. The universe is not yet bruised by the whispers of my butterfly wings, forming the witchery of their approaching misfortune. I condemn the insolvable, its braggadocious monologue of perfection and mystery. It is nauseating, and it weakens the performance of my reflections, deflating myself of coyness and shyness as excuses to be annoyed. Formed in the fluidity of concrete, pain was poured into my foundation. Veins hardened as revenge was cured, and I found no pardon for daydreams of murderous convictions outside of blind women's judgmental scales. Betrayed by ads of medication and Doc's gray matter technologies, I tied my tongue to my hands and spoke to the mannequins and Alpha Omega languages until I discovered my pain is the emancipation of self-discovery.
You know, sweet. Okay, first, I'm loving that you're putting, that you put Alpha Omega in there for all its multi-layered of meanings where this starts and that ends and everything else that that leads into. I just find that just to be absolutely fabulous because I love when you put a turn of phrase in there that has vast implications, and you do that often. And you start off so nicely. You know, the moon is yawning, the sunrise is beginning to pinprick the morning light into the fabric of darkness. And that could go anywhere. But it sucks you into the self-doubt, the self loathing, the misunderstanding, the having to bite your tongue, to be something that you don't want to be. And in that inner search, being shoved down and hating yourself for it, finding who you are and that it's okay to be that despite what anybody else thinks or despite what the expectations are, despite what good girls don't do, despite all of that, I find that to be beautiful because I've said it before and I'll say it a thousand times over, pain is the only honest emotion. It is untainted. It is pure. Everything else, love can have anger, can have this, can have that. It can be happy. It can be sad. You know, all of it is this kind of gradient scale of emotion, but pain never lets you down. It is. It will hurt 100% of the time. And in that, in surviving the different types of pain, we become stronger people and we learn the most about ourselves because how we handle that and how we come through the other side, and it doesn't matter if it's physical pain, emotional pain, old pain or new pain, that is where we are fortified. And that's exactly what this says to me. So I am right there with you. And so, Sky, what are your thoughts?
Well, I absolutely brilliant comment, pretty bird. Excellent piece tweeted. I really, down at the end, I think the whole piece is stunning, but down at the end when you start to talk up, when you start, where's the line? I found no pardon for daydreams I just really, I love that line. I love that thought. The idea of needing a pardon for them, and not finding one. I just really love that. And then, I think this is the one I was drawn to the most, the betrayed by ads and medications and the Doc's Gray Matter technologies. And not that you're going here, but the idea, I just made me think of, electroshock therapy and the idea of, and maybe not technically having this done, but the idea of sometimes, the loops you go through to try to cut those pieces of yourself out that are painful, or, try to endure them, the aftermath of all these, like you say here, medications in different ways that people try to get through things, and how it sometimes can leave us scattered. And the idea that I tied my tongue to my hands and spoke to the mannequins. It's very abstract, but because of its placement and because of the form, it's very tangible. And I love abstract, tangible things. I love when abstract can be tangible. And some people can say, "Oh, it's very abstract and it's kind of you can't really rein it in. It's very out there." This kind of abstract is very tangible. You can kind of make little homes for it and say, "I understand this emotion. I understand this feeling. I can actually put my experience and then imagine the experience that the speaker's talking about," because of the way that you kind of manipulate the words. And I really love that. That ending very much hit, like, was very powerful, especially with the idea. And the last line separated, by the way, from the rest of the tersets and kind of displacing itself, and it wrapping the poem with it being the title, I thought was done very, very well. Excellent.
Thank you, Steph, so much. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And Rackentor, your thoughts?
Well, it's hard to comment on something like this because it's almost like we're taking delight in your pain. You have a way, I always say this, of taking something dark and hard to look at and making it seem like desirable. And once it hits you, what you're really saying, it's like, wait a minute, I like what you say, because, it comes, I think, from an understanding of, the feeling hangs on you, and it's almost like, this is what I know. And why should I dare to dream otherwise? Because, I'm just going to get slapped back anyway. It's rough and relatable, and it hurts. And it hurts to see someone that you care about in pain, and it hurts to, almost as much as it probably does to go through the pain itself. But, that's just not – and then I don't know. I'm gonna pull out the soapbox, but I'm done. Thank you, sweet.
Yeah. Thank you, Rocky, for it. I appreciate it.
Heidi Ho, Silk. That's pretty bird set.
I mean Heidi Ho. I didn't hear the old Heidi Ho on the TV show, but I'll definitely take it.
I just
barely caught the last poem. I loved it, and I also loved Sky's poem, which I went back and read on the board there. It was awesome. I loved your poem too, sweet.
Thank you. I wish I could hang out, but I really do. I had a really long day. Like I said, I was out there in like 45 degree weather canoeing with the fourth grade. I don't don't know why he decided to do that, but it was a lot. And hiking through the woods in the rain, by the way. I don't know what they were doing.
You're brave. I wouldn't go anywhere with that many sixth graders, let alone hiking and
skiing. I wasn't responsible for them all. I was like, we're going to be on the water? I'm like, this is hypothermia. Like, and my luck, I was going to fall in, have an asthma attack from the drop of temperature change. And so I had my anxiety level was a little high today. So I need to go to go lay down. So thank you. I hope people want to
hear you there.
Nice guy.
All right. Good night, Sky. Have a good night. Bye.
Good night, Sky.
Oh, what fun it is to have. All right. So, Mr. Raconteur, are we ready to play your beautiful voice on the radio?
It's free verse just for you.
Oh, yay. Hi, Hatter Hatter. I'm so glad you're listening with me. Hi, APIP.
Oh, hey, Hatter. Right.
Hatter's in Australia with AP.
Hatter down under.
Oh, that's fun.
Damn,
yes,
Hatter's down
under
also.
Awesome.
Oh,
yep,
yeah?
they're hanging out, and they're going to call a little later. So hopefully they can, if everything goes well. But, yeah, Hatter and AP are roommates right now. They're booming buddies hanging around.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. So if you can get Raconteur up, I will find him.
He's up.
Video. He's up. Of course he's up because I have the greatest sleeper in the world. Okay. Once again. All right, here we go.
Shot in the Dark by Raconteur. Grudgingly conceding every rotation of the earth, day dissolves into dusk. I pour myself a shot of whiskey, imbibing the last dregs of light from a reticent sky. A solitary note struggles in the darkness, hanging precariously in the air until it fractures into melancholy harmonies. Vainly portraying my life poetically, crooning prose posing as lyrics played on your heartstrings off-key, scattering my words, desperate for them to take root before dissipating into the shadows. The way puddles briefly collect, only to vanish as they permeate the dirt. Clinging to what little comfort there is in the haunting melody of shattering dreams, relying solely on remnant shards of hope to bind everything together. I pour myself a shot of whiskey, swallow the last vestiges of aspiration from the ebbing night as dusk gives way to dawn and the earth completes another rotation. End poem.
Damn. You have a whole Hurt Locker of this incredible ache. It's just an ache. It's ache in your soul and your desire. You just want to go and just do something to, like, take that ache, that poison apple just burning inside your chest. You want to take it out, do whatever I can to reach in there and pull that ache from me. You know, I've had that ache. I've had that loneliness, that sense of, you know, I'm here by myself. There's nothing that's ever going to take away that sense of inner darkness, like I'm not good enough. No one's going to really see me for me. No one's going to love me for me.
there's always something wrong with me. No matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, there's always going to be that wrong in me. And I love that. Solitary note struggles in the darkness, hanging precariously in the air until it's fractured in a melancholy harmony. I love that stanza. And I don't know who picked your picture for you, but that, I love that picture too. Clinging to what little comfort there is in the haunting melody, scattering screams. Stunning line. Really, really good. Great, great, great work. Now I just ache for you. I just ache for you. Pretty bird, your thoughts.
When you said scattering my words, desperate for them to take root, it reminds me of how I spread grass seed over the Florida sugar sand that doesn't ever want to grow anything. But you try every spring, and maybe it works a little bit, and then it ends up dying anyway. And I just got a very vivid image of that particular struggle, you know, metaphorically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's something beautiful about the mix of whist and jazz, even if it's a hint of either. And that solitary note that struggles in the darkness until it fractures into melancholy harmonies. You know, there's something that happens. Things are only as beautiful as you are strong enough to hear them or to see them. And as the day fades into morning and the whiskey stops being smooth, everything is a little off kilter and you can't hide from things as much as you could before it got that late or that drunk or whatever. And I thought that particular verse was powerful and emotive, and it said just enough to put you in that place as a reader. And in that place, it deepens the rest of the words, because I don't know anybody who hasn't been in that particular place. Maybe alcohol isn't their vice, but the headspace is the same. And, you know, you pour yourself a shot of whiskey, swallow the last vestiges of aspiration, something very finite, very final about that, and well, as was intended, obviously. But when you're talking about emotion that ebbs and flows, has a life of its own, does whatever it wants because it's irrational despite your logical mind, there is something so deflated about those two lines that it's hard not to touch those moments in our own lives, or in at least my own life, that mirror that same emotion.
Thanks, Pretty Bird.
My pleasure.
Wow. And Silky, your thoughts?
Yeah, you got me right when I was trying to leave a comment, and I began my phone. But no, I totally get this. And from someone who likes their whiskey too, I just I totally dug all this. It was dark. It was full of emotion. I love the where was it? Scattering my words, desperate for them to take root before dissipating into the shadows, the way puddles briefly collect only to vanish as they permeate the dirt. It was like some of the, like I get these deep, dark, every once in a while I get these deep, dark moods where it just feels like I'm imploding, and yeah, it just feels like everything's in vain, everything, nothing matters. It's just it's like crap. I almost said a bad word there, but it's like, yeah, crap. Everything doesn't matter, and it's all in vain, so why even try? And that's kind of how this stanza hit me right here, because every once in a while, I get those deep, dark moods as well, and to me, that's how it feels. It's like an empty, like you're falling into a imploding hole that just of nothingness, and that's kind of how this stanza hit me. I really dug it. Good piece. I'm going to read it at Reckontor.
Thanks, so
cool. Hey, Silky, why don't I put yours up before you can't read it anymore?
So what?
How about we put yours up before you can't read it, my love? You get any more shots of whiskey in you, I'm going to lose you.
No, I'm totally cool. I mean, you can put mine up if you want. I mean,
I do.
But yeah, no, I actually worked on this for a while. I saw your poem. I wanted to write something good and dark. But here we go. I actually, it was kind of based on that whole scene two in the never-ending story when Atreyu finally confronts the. I can't remember his name, but the black dog that's after him, and the whole scene. But here we go. It's called Nothing. Black hole Leviathan circle, as a mad carrying eating gods, why implode like a collapsing star? No light survives this dreaded pet, where my nerves are flayed. Like my phantasm betrays its ribcage to the all-consuming void. These dark omens resound across eternity, tolling death shroud sirens and peals of demonic laughter as the rotten fangs of hell gape wide, belching black flames. Fear eludes me. Swallowed in gluttonous gulps by aborted fetuses of demons, eating me by inches. And I gaze long into that abyss, bracing the walls of my requiem as stone crumbles to dust. My specter, a prisoner in this dying body, Ginsu to filth and decay, cast into this oubliette, where the screeching wails of the damned claw the flesh from my bones with ravaging hunger, devouring my all. In peace.
Wow. That's a lot of pain. You can take the simplest, like, from the movie that you took it from is a fantasy kind of movie that, you know, it's not exactly what I would call a dark kind of movie, but you took the ominous of it, and you took all of what you saw in that pain, and you're like, no, it is dark. This dog is, you know, is a representation of the pain and how frightened they are, and this is what I see. This is how I see it, and I see it coming after me. I see it being my prison. It's everything that I don't want to happen. It's the whales at the dam. It's going to eat everything I have. It's my fear. You know, I love that stones crumble to dust. You put so much more darkness into it. So much more fear of what could happen. And you resound across eternity, pulling death sounds, proud sirens, and pulls of demonic. It's not just simple laughter. It's demonic laughter. You know, while I implode like a collapsing star, like there's no light at all. It's just going to be complete devastation. I really like how you just bring, complete, like I said, complete devastation. You lose all hope. Well, you know, you devour all. There's nothing but total, I'm going to take it all. I'm going to stand there, and it's all going to all consume me. As usual, you bring the darkness, and you bring it very well. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Well, this is
Thank
my essay all the time.
You're welcome.
This,
sorry, Pretty Bird.
No, you're fine. this is a very familiar place. I mean, these are very well-fed feasting demons. I'm just putting that out there. But this to me is that whole nothing, the fear of having nothing, of being nothing, that there's nothing else, that there's nothing more than what some people see. Hold on a second. Thank you. Sorry, my son. And that leading into that whole, to me, that whole kind of negative self-talk. Hold on a second. Listen, if you're going to take the dog out, take the dog out. Sorry, my kids are interrupting me. That never happens. Well, that rarely ever happens. And because... I had started talking, and then kids, you don't have them. They mess up everything. I love them with all my heart. of demonic laughter, all of that, when he said, eludes me, swallowed in gluttonous gulps by aborted fetuses of demons eating me by inches, and that, to me, kind of, felt very much like the death of dreams, like all the coulda, shoulda, woulda, used to be's, almost was, all of the things side as life takes down a journey you never asked for, all of those things that haunt, that don't ever do anything but gouge open wounds that barely attempt to heal in the first place. That's what this feels like to me. That, along with all the things we wish we never did, all the things that we wish we could take back, all the things we want to escape about ourselves, knowing full well that the worst parts of who we are still parts of who we are, no matter how much we try to avoid it. Because acceptance is a heart. And so we run, and it nips at our heels, and it eats us, you know, waist high, and it's up to our eyeballs, and there is no escape. And if it's there long enough, if you're anything like me, it becomes a comfort because it doesn't disappoint. That pain does not ever disappoint. It is constantly what it is. And there's a comfort in having something that you can count on. And I'm probably reading you all wrong because I tend to do that, but that's what that felt like to me.
Wow, that's an excellent comment.
Well, thank you, Pretty Bird. No, you aren't all wrong. I get in these stupid moods every once in a while where it feels like I'm literally, like, I don't know, imploding into a black hole and just feel like that all night, and then I try to ride it out and I feel better again. So that's just all it was. But thank you, Pretty Bird.
That's how I absolutely.
That's what Tai Chi is all about.
Mm-hmm. Purging is a good thing. It keeps me semi-sane.
Me too. Rack, your thoughts.
I like this. I think you took a dark moment and kind of expounded upon it in a way that amplified, you know, the feelings that you go through. You even said it very perfectly, an imploding star. That is the definition of the black hole, if I'm not mistaken, that imploding star. So, that's something that I'm wishing that you capture. It's something that and you kind of just said it a minute ago, too, I think. It's something that, even... You flirt with the idea. You can't help but look at it. Even if you're not going to jump into it, you can't help but you know, wonder about it because, you know, it's like it's breathing down your neck, and it's right there all around you, and whether or not you're going to embrace it doesn't really matter. It's still that the you can't escape the idea of it, and that's I think the struggle that some of us have. Is it going to overtake us or not? And you know, that's where the fake smile comes in, and the whole, you know, I'm okay. I'm not buying it, but, you know, I'm okay. it's really a struggle, I think, and for me personally, and you know, I think a lot of people, it helps to put it down on paper and catch that moment and stare it in the face, and then you know walk away. It's not an easy thing, but you know there's a beauty in recognizing it and putting it to words and doing it in a way that's actually not just relatable but creative, and it kind of makes you think even more about it. You know, the way you use the metaphors, it twists the idea a little bit and you know magnifies it in a lot of ways too.
Awesome comment.
Yeah, thank you, Raconteur. Yeah, I found it does help trying to write it out. That's why I try to write when I get feeling like that, and it does help. And yeah, especially trying to get different ways of just throwing it out too helps too. Because yeah, I mean for real, I don't hate feeling like that. I'm sure everybody does. And find something that helps you get out of it, it's always good. So, and thank you.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, say hello to Hatter.
Hello to Hatter.
Hatter.
Hatter,
but
AP.
But it's not Hatter.
I'm muted.
It's not Hatter. It's just AP. Well, Hatter lied to me because he said I'm calling. And so I thought that was Hatter.
Yeah, Hatter's got another phone. So you'll see another 61 phone coming in shortly. That's the Hatter phone.
Okay. Well, hello, AP. Everybody. Say hello to AP. Hello, AP.
Hi there. Hatter's at my place.
Hey, AP.
He's at my place. I don't know whether it'll still be there when I get back, but he's at my place. I'm about to go into a meeting in the city, but he's in my place. So,
okay.
You know, we'll
here he is.
Still there.
Hello, Hatter.
Hello. Hello. Yeah,
we
made it.
Hello. There he is.
Yeah.
All right.
I made it.
You made it. Okay. Now I have your book.
How's Australia?
Are you being force-fed Vegemite, Hatter?
He hasn't had any yet.
No, not yet.
No.
I had it in front of him.
No, don't do that.
I
don't blame you.
You haven't fed him some of those huge spiders down there yet, AP?
Oh,
I think he killed a spider, but it wasn't that big.
It's the little ones you got to worry about. The big
ones
you can avoid.
Yeah, I'm just teasing, man. I want to go to.
Okay.
I'm really jealous, Hatter. I want to go to Australia real bad. That'd be awesome.
Okay, ruler of the world. Put up your ruler of the world.
What have I got?
To read and run.
What?
Yes, go. Yes.
I do exactly.
Read and run.
Otherwise, I'd be with Hatter, and I'm not. So
I know.
Yeah, so anyways, I do have something, Sweet. It's not, well, you know, it's okay, but it's, you know, it's not going to go and win the sort of, you know, literature prize or anything, but it's a poem and it's about pain, so I'm going to put it on the board, okay?
Okay, got it.
Here we go. Best thing about this poem is its title. This is Sweetly Sore. And it goes a little bit like this. Nails, they trail on down a blackboard. The sound is grinding upon my brain, loose with a samurai sword and carving toenails against the grain. Our receptors, they survey this world, seeking within their guile and strain, feeling instincts or moments twirled when they light up a concern explain. And they rapidly follow directed gazes across our eyes onto light wane, where all sorts of stimulus will daze, still a priority that we specially ordain. Which makes perfect sense as recall, few similar things do resources drain, so it's no wonder that all else forestall, when we know what's following, is pain. End poem.
Oh. Very, very true. You know, I kind of figure out if we're talking about something that you've done to yourself or something that's going to happen to yourself, because I'm either thinking, oh, my God, what did he do to his toe, or what did he do to his face, or what is he going to pull out of his world because I'm thinking of all the surgeries you had on your foot. And this is not something you want to do. Okay. And then the other thing that immediately comes to my mind is you running around the office trying to get rid of the guy with the samurai sword. And I'm like, okay, so he's got to be talking about his foot because that's painful. But then how painful was this guy with the samurai sword? Giggling, and then you have me going, ow, oh, my God, his foot. So this had a double meaning for me, but I loved the poem, and it was great. And it also made me giggle a little bit because of the guy with the sword. Because that was funny. Yes. Brilliant. So, Pretty Bird, your thought.
Well, you got me thinking about that guy in his underwear with the big old giant knife, so thank you for that, because I actually didn't even go there. But, there is the end of this poem. When we try to stop ourselves from doing something or acknowledging something or having to face something that hurts. It is very profound. And you start with that god-awful blackboard that went right down my spine not okay, but thanks. And it went right there. It's like, oh. And it puts you in that uncomfortable sense of self as you're reading this, which is just freaking brilliant. From the very first line, make somebody uncomfortable, and not for nothing, impending pain is not the comfort zone. You know, even if you're like me and you're comfortable with the actual pain once you're in it, whatever kind of pain it is, you know, it is what it is, you get through it. It's that those moments before, there is no calm before the storm. It is a tightening vice on your senses, tip to tail. And that's what stuck out to me. And, you know, tragically, my logic has no place here. You know, you cannot, you know, think your way out of it, talk your way out of it. Even if you're talking to yourself like you would talk to a friend of yours, knowing that it makes sense and you're being absolutely honest, it does not assuage the impending feeling of doom. And I think that you depicted that wonderfully.
Thank you. Pretty good.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. And so, what's your thoughts?
Yeah. I thought this was a really good piece, AP. I think it was more about, like even your title, it says Sweetly Sore. To me, my comment, I said it made me think about when I try to work out. I try to do weights like three days a week, and I always get up, and I'm like, I'm going to get up and do it right away, and then it's like,
yep.
I don't know. I sit there and I procrastinate, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it in a minute. I'll do it in a minute. And it's like, you know, it's going to hurt, but then I got to convince myself that the hurt's worth the effort, you know? And, oh, it's going to hurt, but the payoff's going to be worth it. You know, it's kind of how this poem struck me as thinking about that. And there's other types of like pain you go through too. I mean, pain's not always bad. I mean, pain's always not something fun to go through, but pain also a lot of times is associated with growth. And this is how this poem struck me, and I really dug it. It was a great piece.
No, I think so. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Silk went very close to my thinking in that first stanza because, as you know, I have whacking great needles thrown at me 3 times a week, and tonight, here's another example of that. And
I choose not to have
anesthetic. Yeah. And so these bloody, and I've got my new arm being used, so the nerves are all still active. And so when the needles go in, it feels like I'm being stung by a hornet. But I've still got to stay still. But I know it's going to help me. Yeah. So that was
Yeah, that has to suck, yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, but not very pleasant. Yeah, it is what it is, though.
Well, I hope you feel better soon.
I'm not really sure. Yeah. Yes.
You named the poem Sweetly. What am I supposed to think about? Am I kind of like a pain to you? Is there any kind of metaphorically you're trying to say to me?
No, not at all, Sweet. I was sitting there and I was going, what am I going to name this poem? And I thought, the juxtaposition works for me. Sweet. So, you know.
Okay. All right, got it. Rack your thoughts, and then we've probably got to let him run away.
The thing that strikes me the most, I hear the sports announcer going, ooh, that's going to hurt, you know. That almost amplifies it to me because, it's one thing to get hurt, but to kind of see it coming, and I think that speaks a little bit to what Pretty Bird was saying, but in the opposite way, you know, there is some logic to that because you know it's like here comes the pain, and that almost makes it worse in some instances. It's like what did I just do? What did I just knowing you can't avoid it and get around it. You know, logically, you know it's going to hurt. So that's, in some instances, to me, that actually makes it worse. It's really, and then, like she said, the construction of the poem, I think was brilliant. You know, you started out exactly the way that you needed to. You know, you made us uncomfortable. You're like, you know, those nails on the chalkboard. It's like that grating noise. Like you said, the realization, the beginning of like, you know, a poem. You know, that sound of impending doom almost, and then you know you trickle down to and here comes the pain, and it's like a logical conclusion to it, and you know it finally collapses on you and everything just falls apart. So well done.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, awesome. All right, Hatter.
I'm gonna leave you to the other Australian in the room. And disappear.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Don't put me up the place, Hatter.
Talk soon. Okay. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Hatter down under.
All right. Hatter, how's it going?
We're just a big house of pain here between me and AP.
I definitely want to hear about Hatter Down Under. That sounds awesome, man. I'm totally jealous.
Yeah, if you can survive the trip down, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's a long plane ride.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be a long-ass plane ride, I'd imagine.
Yeah, if you do it, fly at night. Fly at night.
Always.
Let me do it. Yeah.
Sleep that 14 hours.
I'd beg my doctor for a couple Xanax and just try to sleep the whole way, I think.
Or just make sure everybody else is.
God.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're there. I'm hoping you're not too bogged down yet by jet lag. But I have Miss Pretty Bird on the board, and I picked my poem.
So this one comes with a precursor. I'm going to sing the bolded parts of this, and it's supposed to be sounding like an old kind of record player or tape or something that's kind of off key and slow and not, but it's supposed to sound bad. So I probably won't even sound quite as bad as I needed to be in my head. But I'm singing, and I'm not singing good on purpose. So just putting that out there before you think that I'm crazy for singing on the air. Okay. This is From the Shadows, She Will Rise. And it goes like this. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna make the truth absurd. If that truth won't go down smooth, learn to put your mask on with super glue. But the only way to remove super glue from skin is to soak it in acetone honesty that bites the tongue just for the flavor. Iron-fortified sutures fashioned from wasted veins of empty ink that stop bleeding useless dribble.
still hold memory of blistering thoughts and rip silence through torn skin, cracking the collective plaster that's never seen Paris. Layers of skin save hindsight views untainted by blue skies, gleaming sunsets through reality's ironic humor. The salt of sweat and briny tears desiccate plastic smiles, burning deeper layers of flesh with cracking, aged facades. Decades of truth and gnarled betrayal washes hope clean into disdain, but skin can't breathe through acrid questions. But people speak in tongues, twisted. Paint me a smile from incarnating wounds, emancipate the air that holds my breath, where death carries the scent of heaven and apple pie. I smile, despite knowing it will tear layers of rotten flesh from the cracked porcelain promises. The pain always catches me off guard. Hush, little baby, don't you cry. Mama's gonna make the truth a lie. I'll teach you how to speak in broken words and mold my little angel into a pretty bird. And Paul.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, I randomly picked this, so I deserve this.
The other ones aren't any better, sweet. You're fine.
I just copied and pasted onto the board. Never looked at it. Didn't even look at the damn picture because that's scary enough. Okay? So I totally deserve this. And what are the chances I pick a poem that has the word emancipate in it? frightening and so true. Where death carries the scent of heaven and apple pie, I smile. Because I'm going to see what the world thinks I should be. And I'm going to put on this super glue. And every time somebody tells me I did something wrong, and I got to tear that off before I look at my pretty face, please. Oh, my God. Still holding the memory of blistering thoughts and ripped silence and torn skin, crackling the collective plaster that's never seen. Oh, what things we hide cannot be it. It's not for eyes to see us. Because normal is the promise we promise the world, and the world still says, what? That was bad. Says naughty, naughty things. And I don't know why. Because who defines it? Who defines it? Except for the brain inside of us, I guess. You fight with the you and the who's and the whys and the my's that run in your brain. And all it does is cause pain. Oh.
Yeah.
And you go on and go on and on. All right, back and forth. With beautiful thoughts and beautiful mind.
my warped mind, anyway. You know, the thing I appreciate most about this is what Hollywood wants to do with soundtracks and music, and the fact that you intentionally don't want the song to be melodious, and you know, you being who you are, you almost can't help but sing it and you know, in a way that's, it's like, oh, that doesn't sound bad, but you know, the idea of it that it's not supposed to sound good kind of emphasizes the content, because you know, it's not just the idea of the song not being pretty, it's that it's literally failing. It's warped. And you know, to me, that almost doubles the emphasis on the words that you're singing, and then you know refocuses on them. I think if it was pretty, like you said, it would be more distracting, and less impactful. And then you get down to what it is that you're actually talking about. You know, Mama's going to make the truth a lie, and things like that. It's like that realization is just, ouch. You know, and it's the pain that we all have to deal with, you know, the reality. Yeah, some of us just aren't made for reality, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I think that's why my mind is comfortable there. I really enjoy this piece, though, for that. I really appreciate the off-key singing on purpose aspect of it. And, you know, I don't want to point out that you sang off-key, but, you know, wow. It's wonderfully done. I mean, I love the thought of it. I love the message. It's just so beautiful.
Thank you. And Silk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally dug this. This actually made me think of my dad. My dad's like, it's made me think. I think a lot of children with their parents. They're never good enough, you know. You're never fucking good enough. And sorry, excuse my language there, but you're never good enough. It kind of that's how it stuck me anyway. It was like, and you said the way that you were going to try to sing off key or not sing it perfectly anyway. That kind of gave me a hint there too. To me, it was like my dad's the same way. It's like I can do almost anything. I can program an application that can pull information off of a website and then sort it perfectly. And he wouldn't even be happy with that. He'd be like, "Oh, you didn't do it right." No. So I totally get it. That's kind of how this hit me. It was just a parent not being never being happy with anything their child does, kind of pain. And I really dug it. Just a great piece, especially this one stanza. Let me go find it here. Iron fortified sutures fashioned from wasted veins of empty ink that stop bleeding useless drivel. It was just that had a lot of power just writing that stanza too. I really dug it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is some of the most disturbing horror movies have nursery rhymes in it like this, especially when it involves children of the corn. I think the line. That bites the tongue just for the flavor. In my pain management class years and years ago, it was brought up that the numbness you feel when you over-medicate yourself, you sometimes people that are in pain hurt themselves to feel something because they're just numb. To the fact reality, it's almost like the first phase of reality when you realize what you're doing to yourself. I went through it myself. It's a clever way of putting it together. And like I said, some of the most devastating, disturbed movies have that rhyme in it, and you just feel it when you were singing it. Quite disturbing. Very good.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I think I got everybody, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Righty. So, what other questions do I have? Yes, I have you on the board.
I see it. Okay. Mine just right to the point. Pain like a groin injury. It goes like this. Certainly, I know the face of pain shows me that it's truly real. It follows me everywhere I go. My breath away, it often steals. Without a name to call the pain, I whisper in its ear, asking why it works all day as it draws to me. It nears. I tried to beat the living hell out of between its eyes. Took the pain and gave it back while wearing a disguise. It takes back to pay ahead. I've taken back to pay ahead on a day I thought was mine. And it showed me how it fools my brain and travels through my time. The last time I played on through, I believed that I might win. I tucked my pain inside my head and fed it to the wind. simple things are truly mixed with complicated vows. At the end does honest threats to be heard among the crowds. I ask for a time of peace to be a piece of you in a memory. Hold me close to feel the pulse and see that I'm set free.
Wow.
And
I like this piece, Hatter. You know, I took my pain inside my head and fed it to the wind. Simple things are truly mixed with complicated vows. I really like those, that stanza in the next two. I mean, complicated vows, yeah, they certainly are. I ask for a time of peace to be a peace with you in memory. Hold me close to feel the pulse and see that I'm set free. You get wrapped up in all of that, and you feel dead inside, and you don't know how to let it go. You don't know how everybody says, you know, you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that, and then you just play back, and you're like, well, how did it all break, and how was that my fault, and what did I do wrong? And finally, you're just like, let it make it a memory, and finally, you know, just let me be free of all of it. I can't live like that anymore. I can't be like that anymore. And just let me know I'm still alive and I've got time to be alive. And I really, it's time to get it back.
You know, one of the hardest things I know is being with other people that are going through similar pain issues. They go into it thinking, it's going to end the pain. It's going to end the pain. It's going to make me feel better. It's not. It's not at all. When you realize what it's doing is it's a way of managing it. It's never going to make it easier. But the brain is a powerful tool, and that's what it teaches you to do. Use your brain to get it off your shoulders. Maybe let it sit beside you, but at least it's not on your shoulders sitting on you, weighing you down. So it's a sad thing to witness. It's even a harder thing to live through, you know. But pain. You said it right. Pain is something that is truly. How did you put it? It's
reliable.
There's no other. I can't remember. Shoot.
It's a pure emotion.
Yeah, there you go.
It's pure emotion.
Yeah.
It will always hurt.
Yeah, exactly. In all shapes and forms.
Yeah. And Freebird, what did you think of it?
For which verse is it? It is the third one. I tried to beat the living hell out between its eyes. It took the pain and gave it back while wearing a disguise. And that is an unfortunate truth. Because, you know, a lot of people have more luck than I with mind over matter, whether it's mental anguish, whether it is physical pain, whatever it is, my mind hates me, you know? And so even when I have those moments where it's dulled down enough where something good might weigh a little bit more than whatever it is that's ailing me, you know, and you forget for half a second, it always comes back in some kind of way. Oh, here you go. Remember me? You forgot to cry today. You forgot that you can't move like that, or you know, I'll remind you. But it almost kind of lulls you into a sense of ease before it's like, no, kiss my butt. And so that verse really, really got me. Because there is no actual escape, and it has to run its course. You have to go through what you have to go through, and then you have to go through a period of mourning who you thought you were,
and then morphing into the acceptance of who, how this pain has changed you, whether it is death, whether it's the end of a relationship, whether it is the birth of a child, whether it is, you know, a broken ankle, it doesn't matter. It changes you. And most people don't even understand or notice the mental process that you go through to get to the other side of that. It just sucks and sucks some more until one day it sucks a little less and then it doesn't suck. And that's kind of how life works. I mean, as miserable as that sounds, but that birth specifically really just spoke a lot of unfortunate truth.
Yeah, it's devastating to when reality hits that you are now destined to live with it. It's a mindset. When you say you're not strong enough, willpower. It's I think it's a degree of pain and how much you're going to allow it to change you. You can fight it for a long time, and then all of a sudden wake up one day and then give in.
Oh, I don't fight. I don't think I give in either. I think I accept it for what it is until it changes, because it's the that middle road for me is the least of all the evils.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's a double-edged sword. When my case, you learn to, if you complain, people don't like to be around people that complain about crap all the time. So you learn not
right.
to. But then down the road, you'll say, man, it's just so bad, I can't deal with it. You go, well, you never said anything before.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You can't win. You can't win.
Yeah, no,
and
not even a little bit.
Hope to have,
you know, they look at you like, well, how come you can't do it yourself? Well, because have you forgotten I can't move? Oh, sorry I did too much yesterday that you forgot that I am not any better. So, yeah, I get you. I do. And it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And
thank you.
It's hard to need people when you're an independent person. It's hard to ask for the slightest bit of help. It puts you in an uncomfortable position inside yourself when you're not used to it. And I personally am not one to ask twice. If it doesn't happen, if you forget, if you get busy, if you say no, if it just doesn't happen, I won't ask you again unless I am absolutely desperate. And it's not that I don't trust, and it's not that I don't need the help, but it crushes me because I never ask for help. And so when I do, it's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
It may not be a big deal to anybody else, but it's a big deal to me, and it lingers, and it's horrible.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Rack, and turn your thoughts.
Yeah, this just makes me think about, you know, trying to live with it. You know, it becomes your daily reality, and at some point you just get so ground down that you know, you almost welcome the pain because it reminds you that you're alive. And you know, that's a horrible way to be. You know, and like you said, people don't like to be around people that complain. So you don't make a big deal of it, or you kind of, you know, just learn to, you know, this is my reality, like Pretty Bird said. And you know, when you hit those moments that it tends to be too much, people are like, you know, I don't understand. It's like, you know, I've been living with this for however long, and you know, there comes a point when it gets to be too much. You know, they forget that, you know, it's a humanity thing, and it's not just a mindset. It's things aren't going to necessarily get better. This is, you know, going to be the way it is from, you know, this moment forward, unless, you know, some miracle of science, you know, gives me an android body, take my brain and put it in a robot. You know, it's like, oh, this is how it's going to be. This is what I have to do to get by. And people don't understand that, you know, that's the mindset that people that are in pain have to take. You know, it's, you know, What is it? Deal with it, or you know, you know, roll over and die. You know, those are basically your two choices.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I run across somebody else I know has chronic pain or is in pain. Instead of asking the intrusive questions, sometimes you just say, "How can I help you?" Rather than, yeah, just you don't want to say, "Oh, I know what you're going through." No, you don't. Everybody's degree of pain is different. Everybody deals with it differently. So if you just simplify it, just look at them in the eye, into their eyes, and just go, "How can I help you, man? I understand."
Yeah.
And that could be the most compassionate thing you can tell somebody or help somebody.
It's patronizing to say that I know what you're going through. It's like, you know, did you have brain surgery? No. Well, you don't know. Don't play that game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a scary word. I can use that once in a while. My last brain surgery. Oh. Ooh.
My last brain surgery. Not my only one, but my last one.
My last one.
Well, yeah, they went back in to try, but they fucked up the first time.
Yeah.
Well, then you think you're crazy. You're disturbed. But you know, if anything else, it mellowed me out. It mellowed me out more. Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just wanted still to give a comment.
Thanks.
Okay, are you still here?
Oh, were you calling me?
Yes, you.
I didn't hear you say my name at first. I was about to unmute and be like, "Hey, I want to comment." Hatter.
Yeah.
I even saw on the board here just a second ago. I think you had it on the head there. My mother had severe spinal pain issues for the last, like, about 10 years of her life, and it really, it really defined her last, it really defined her. She got on different drugs for it, and then she started abusing drugs for it, and I think eventually the drugs she was doing killed her. But it was all because of the pain she was in, because she had, like, she had like three or four herniated discs in her lower back, and then she was doing drugs, and then she had an issue where she got some kind of infection that ate two discs in her upper spine. So I totally see how bad pain is, and like you were saying, you can't know what someone goes through, but I actually pinched a nerve in my lower spine last year, and I had a pinched nerve for about 4 months. So I kind of got like a slight insight to people who have pain like that, and yeah, it wasn't fun at all. I mean, I was having trouble walking. I was having trouble sitting down. My whole like leg would go numb. On my whole left leg would go numb for a minute or for a while, and it was weird. I couldn't walk right. I totally get how people have pain, and I think your poem also hit the nail on the head about mental issues too, because, well, I don't know if you meant it that way, because a lot of people have mental issues too, like I have a lot of mental issues where I have agoraphobia, and I have other things where it doesn't show up physically, but I mean it is just as debilitating. I mean, like, I have this issue. It's so stupid. I will freeze up if I have to walk across a large open area, and it's just.
Yeah.
I mean, it's embarrassing as shit. Honestly, I mean, it's so embarrassing to me. And I hate that I'm like that, but people that don't experience it don't get it at all. So I get that part of it too. It's just like that.
Yeah, the agoraphobic the agoraphobia, that's a byproduct. I dealt with it. I didn't leave my house for 2 years.
I was like that for I went through a period there for 3 years where I lived with my brother, and I couldn't leave his house for like 3 years. I'd get panic attacks just walking, just take the trash out. I mean, it was that bad for a while.
It was huge to prepare myself for this trip down here. I forced myself every step of the way.
Oh yeah, that I mean, I probably have to do the same thing, but I'm still jealous, and I'd love to go to Africa or to Australia. I'm totally jealous of you right now, Arthur. So, I'd really enjoy that. That'd be awesome. I mean, I'm the same way though. I'd have to force myself probably every step of the way, but I'd still enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I totally got your poem, man. It's a great piece.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. Irrational fears are crazy, and they're painful. And I have fears that snakes follow me, like literally follow me. Like they get my scent and they follow me. Like they're going to call in my car when I'm parked. Are they, like, I'm driving down the road and they're speaking in my engine? So I totally get that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's crazy, irrational fear. So, and I went through a bout of agoraphobia when my certain person I knew was stalking me, and I refused to go out of my house for almost 7 months. And that is scary shit. So, it's crazy.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It
I thought we got all that worked out in court, though, sweet pea. I'm not stalking anymore. What? No, I'm fucking around. I'm messing with you.
That's funny. We are actually, I believe, through all our poems. Am I correct, Pretty Bird?
Deb is still on there. Are we reading her tonight? Is she calling in?
No, she's not calling in. She had a family emergency. I am not going to read her. I will save that for my next show. So outside of that, the other person is no longer in the AP world. And I didn't see Chaos come back. So I don't know if she's writing or not. So outside of her, yep, she's on the board. Let's ask. All right.
Am I supposed to be asking somebody something?
Chaos is on the board, so we're asking if she has. She said she might. She asked if there was time to write earlier.
Come on aboard.
She might call in.
Yep. Or she might call in, which would be awesome. Awesome, Dawson.
Yep, she is.
Yeah, just finished typing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yay! I love to hear Chaos. That's awesome.
So, I think there's an expression that goes, you could share your happiness, but you can't share your pain.
Really? I find that to be totally the opposite.
I was about to say the exact same thing, Pretty Bird. So I think we're on the same wavelength over here.
Oh, you need to get your eyes open.
And we have a caller.
Hello, Chaos.
Hello.
How are
Chaos
you?
Calling.
Chaos calling.
Yeah. Like Avon, only less
Avon
color.
Calling.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to share happy news because you're told we could share happier news better than pain news, but we're all debating that. Happy news is my niece passed her board, and she's now officially a doctor of orthopedic medicine. I'm so proud of her. There you go. That's my happy news.
Oh, hell
I know.
Yeah.
I cried.
Wow.
Yeah. So excited.
That's definitely an accomplishment. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So excited. So excited. So that's my happy news. Everybody be happy.
Uh-huh.
See?
But we're not,
not
done
as
with
exciting
the pain.
As bad news. I know. That's what I'm just saying.
Super
not
happy
as exciting.
For you, sweet.
Yeah,
happy interlude, happy interlude, happy interlude.
Happy interlude. Yes. Very exciting.
Put it on the board, Kat.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Brain function. It does. Occasionally.
No, you're
nothing
you're
works right after midnight. You're fine.
You were politely waiting your turn.
It's not midnight here yet.
You don't know that.
It's
only 9:30 here.
We're talking about.
Yeah, it's 11:35.
And we have another caller.
No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. It's sinister.
It's like up here.
What is that little hand? Is that like it's me?
Oh, yeah.
It's me. It's a new little icon.
Oh, it's
popping
so
up.
Sinister is awesome, man. Very underrated.
I've never seen that
look
before.
Look how wonderful.
Hey, Sid.
I'm not unmuted.
How are you? I know you're not unmuted. I said hello.
Oh, nobody's ever heard. I never heard unmuted. I'm like, what are you talking? Hello, I'm good. How are you? You're in my head. It's awesome. I can hear again.
Beautiful.
I see you're right in my alley tonight, and I came on time for chaos. He's graced us from the shadows. Let's shut up and listen.
All right, shut up and listen to her, dude. Here she goes. You can read a poem.
You're all ready for me to read?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we are.
This is long. Gosh. Okay. I write long now. It's crazy. And my titles are weird. Forging new armor out of shattered shields. Time healed and words worked, leaving only faint scars and faded memories. Stones are just an old saying when trust is betrayed and words are harsher than hacksaws that cut through skulls. Shadows lose all security if light shines so bright it blindsides you, leaving no retreat. New battles never meant to be, set up camp on old ground where skeletons were buried, never to be resurrected. Trenches dug in a panicked mind for a place to hide, going to ground desperate for new shadows as shields. Desperation anchors anger, anger armors rage, drawing back darkness, a new place, a new age. Thank you.
Wow.
There's some typos in there.
This is... Okay. The lead of this is brilliant. I am excited to read and hear you read. This is just brilliant. New battles never meant to set up camp on an old ground where skeletons were buried never to be resurrected. God, we battled that old damn camp and those old skeletons that were never meant to be resurrected, but aren't they dancing in our goddamn heads all the time? Just so many great words in here. Sticks and stones are just insane. Time heals and words work, leaving only faint scars and faded memories. Even a faint scar, though, God, you can see it. I just wish they would somehow, like, never be seen or felt, to say you're definitely seen. And they can bring back some desperate memories. And I love the last stanza. Desperation anchors anger, and anger arms rage, drawing back the darkness in this place and in this age. You have this way of taking the simplicity of anger and just drawing it in its raw power. And I think you did that brilliantly here. Because no matter how much we want to put it away, something will trigger it, and not only does it come back, but it comes back harder and faster in a brighter fire. And I really, really enjoyed that. Well done, Ms. Kayla.
Thank you.
And Ms. Freeberg, your thoughts?
I have many, many, many thoughts. Sticks and stones are just an old saying. When trust is betrayed and words are harsher than hacksaws that cut through skulls. You know, this is very true. And it's the whole the pen is mightier than the sword thing, where it's the words that cut, and it's the ones we love that can cut us the deepest. And half the time they don't even know that they're doing it, and it sucks. And I loved the way you phrased that entire thing. So here is the thing, because my brain is twisted, so apologies beforehand. When it's where the skeletons were buried, never to be resurrected, and in the next breath, you are digging up trenches, and I'm loving that, because you're looking for a place to hide, so you're hiding behind those skeletons that we thought we were past, but we're not, but if we throw that up there, then we don't have to face what's happening now, because we're still dealing with what happened then, and I absolutely love that. I also love the whole I'm a vampire over werewolf kind of person. So this whole going to ground, desperate for new shadows is shields, where you're just going to bury yourself in it. And the next time you're going to come up, it's going to be a whole new world. And I love that entire idea on a spiritual level, on an emotional level, on all my crazy levels in my head, because that works for me. Because it makes sense to me. And I have a thing for titles, and I love this title. Your title is not weird. It's absolutely perfect. Because sometimes you have to break the old to rebuild better and stronger and be all bionic woman about it, because you don't have a choice. It's either, you know, use what you got and make it work for you, or sit in that place that is, you know, devastating. So I love this. I think it's a very strong piece. And I'm so glad that I got to hear you read. I think it's the first time I've heard you read.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you for your comments. They're wonderful. Thank you. You're so great.
My pleasure.
And the weird thing about the title, why I say the title is weird, is because I have to explain this to you. My titles used to be like one word, two words, okay? And then I had a friend who I used to make fun of his titles. They were so long, I used to tell him. And I used to be like the queen of brevity. I'd tell him that his titles were longer than some of my works. And so the new me is like writing out these titles, but my current titles have been some of my most creative titles. The ones, my new comeback.
I love a good title.
In the last week and what is it? A week and a half? I've been back. I'm not sure. 2 weeks. I don't know. I just made a weird comeback where I just jumped out of the shadows. I don't know. Startled everybody. But all my new titles are kind of longish and a little more creative than normal, just put some words on there.
I think it's fabulous.
So, thank you.
And Silk, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really dug this, and I mean the title is like you were just talking about the title, and to me, I really enjoyed the title too, because it was like part of the poem to me. It had its own thing going on up here, like forging new armor out of shattered shields. It speaks about like the broken pieces of other shields, and you gather them all up to create a new shield, so to speak. And to me, I really dug that. And then I really love this stanza down here. To me, it spoke to both pain, physical and mental. The trenches dug in a panicked mind for a place to hide, going to ground, desperate for new shadows as shields. It kind of spoke to me about how something might hit you the wrong way, or the or the right way. I mean, either, I mean, whichever way you look at it, it's, and it might make you just react a certain way, feel a certain pain, or in my case, I get intrusive thoughts where I don't want to, I don't have these thoughts, and it's like, damn. And that's kind of how it it kind of hit me, and I really dug it. Just great piece, Cass.
Thank you. And Sinister, your thoughts.
It is not a comeback. You are coming back in brilliant form, my friend. And you know, you will come through this better in showing your work, and this will heal you. Because that's what art does for us. And I'm just happy to hear you again. I love you.
And Dragon Dwarf.
See, he makes me want to make a pun about, you know, come back or second coming, but I digress. I like the title. I tend to try and tie the title into the rest of the poem and use it to as a rudder almost to help it make sense. So, I mean, this makes perfect sense to me. I'm also someone that likes the one-word titles and you know, sometimes I'll do a couple of words or whatever, but more often than not, my titles are usually just like one word. The longer it is since you've written it, sometimes when you look back, it's like, what did I call that again? So, you know, it gets a little confusing. So the longer titles I think are more helpful in some instances. But you know, I like this. Like I started to ramble. the idea of the armor and the shield definitely speaks to the emotion that you're talking about in this, and again emphasizes the battle of, you know, trying to deal with the anger and everything else. So I think it's tied together beautifully. You did a great job.
Thank you. And my Mad Hatter.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm muted. Okay. Yeah, I Cass, I love the way you said the new me. I miss the old you, but I welcome the new you. It's good to hear your voice. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
I do like the where is it? The new battles never meant to be. Set up camp on the old ground where skeletons were buried, never to be resurrected. That's a powerful statement. It reflects on everybody's individual, how they deal with it. Pain is emotional pain can be just as bad as physical. In fact, I would welcome physical pain more than emotional. Emotional drop me to my knees. Physical pain I can battle. It's good to have you back, Chaos.
Thank you. I miss being here.
Hi, Sin. How are you?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Dear you, brother.
Well, I'm glad Chaos is here. I'm glad Sin is here. I'm glad you're all here. I've been gone for 2 months myself. It's my first show back after 90 days or 60 days. I almost went 90 days. So I'm really glad you're here. Sin, Pretty Bird, did you find a poem for Sin, or am I done, or what are we doing?
Well, I don't know. Sin, do you have a PG-13 poem about pain that's, you know, 300 or 400 words?
I mean, it's not 300 or 400 words. It's not 300 or 400.
Is it beyond that?
No, I'm talking on mute. Sorry, here I am. It's not 300 or 400 words. I don't know. Anyway, we're talking about mental health, right? And mental health is very front and center in my life. And so, you know, I've been going through all these transitions of a plethora of pieces. I just don't release anything anymore. But you know,
this one lady that I'd known for some time through the poetic circles. She was in the clubhouse. She's very, very passionate. I don't know the sense that she has soul. Driven, known poet. She's getting in a couple of movies, and she does these creative spaces that I really, really like. I like her influence, and there's a contest coming up. I'm hoping to go on tour with her. And anyway, so it's such a prompt, and this one took a little while. There's three pictures. Now, the point was, I wish I could show to you. If you have my Facebook, it's on there. To take these pictures as a part in your life or someone that you love. Now, even though each piece is supposed to be individual, they should all come as one. And in my transition of becoming me again, I am imploding the Valkyrie.
No.
Ouch.
Wow.
Break stuff. All right. Ready?
You have a link for us, then?
I put it in. I put it in the chat. It's right
okay.
Under. It's right under chaoses. I'm sorry. I get myself. I forget. Sorry. I give you a minute. So anyway, yeah, you know, the plethora of life. And but see, we have to account and discern before we let go. If we don't do that, paths are surely to be muddied. Everybody good?
We're good.
All right, cool. This is imploding the Valkyrie. Onyx, breaks dust well, starless, bitterest light, draws heavy on my cerebral function. Annihilating poise. It seems the weight of this plethora fragmented hangs heavy. I wonder, have you ever heard tommy gun cackles exploding behind eyes? Screaming nerves? Despair isn't ample acquisitions on the imposing burden. This adversity swept explosions of thoughts reason from those outstanding, attracting, super glued, the audacious volatility of supersonic shifts. Around black holes. I recently vacuumed into a dismantling of my work or your swift galactic contusions. Opaque shooting stars burn live wire hues until retinas once blue. It's here, in my epicenter, I was besieged by callous thunder, maniacally shredding apart my internals, bleak graffiti for death. Swirling, stranded, and draining gyrations from which you wish to cull. This surge, a simulation of wicked vibrations that I cower from, is so damn cold. Switching gap, illuminations, found senses, as I'm nowhere fast. Plucked from an indulgence, one appreciates when all is gone. I'm staggered fractions of what's in birth and cold fear. Steel shivers my heart and soul behind metallic manipulations of the endeavor. Brass tacks an ideal out of reach like keys. Shy am I of escape. Contorted confusions as I rust internally, copper shaded instances of despair. Windswept your slighted allocution, key master of rock and roll aesthetics. Tender grace. Blinders are the strands, you're disparaging my portals from relative view. A caramel-coated occasion when we were free. Was I ever really? Confined in your diabolical intent of contorted libations? I welcome change. Soft has become the sound of your keys talking as my world bleeds jazzy dissolution. There's more. In this prison of solitude, I'm a monkey on display. I dance chained to affection unrequited. Your hands brush the caution of my physicality through the vulgar human soup. Apocalyptic is future's foretelling when there's not enough souls. She will devour you. I close my ambition at dusk words. I find the truth of what it is to be alone. I talk ridges. There's depth and deception. Cold, you go further in your mind. What it strolls. Escape is no linear image cast for pleasure. Devastatingly. Cold, swell, love, whole. I'm weighted in deliberate contortions of reality and some abstract Sahara opaque. My locking your indecision like culminations were proverbial thrashing winds. I won't come as a moth dissolving in my embodiment. I am seven hemispheres of God's wonder. Both held and talisman, seemingly contorted and allocated by your devilish quiver and decline. And released from Lucifer's freefall. Ah, the cheats are such company confines. I am the vision of greater standards, slated in rich purpose. Beside your regret. And hold, some reinvention of distant corners of a ridiculous and beautiful world. Surely suspension or four chambers, shaven sleeves. To rot now falling on cold age faces, weathered by wonderment. Taking heed to sugar cane snaps will ensure these eggshells nurture turmoil. Acceptance begets phantasmical lush endeavors where I bask in the fruition of my growth. Over tragic sunsets burnt down like sideways gusts one carelessly accepts. Not allowing occasion to blindside the worth, chaos attempted to annihilate. Let seismic explosion decimate the locks of indifference once opposed. I am not catastrophe and implosion. So dipsy don't be living or not. Rather, the light of greater purpose and astounding will. Inside the dust, I am the conundrum incarnate who still grins, but I giggle as well. And the re-embodiment of whom I was intended to always truly be. Purpose on, and put into mockery, and peace.
Wow. There is so much involved in this piece. There's... Wow. Then this is... It's heavy, and it's humorous, and it's dark, and it's a look inside of so much of what was and what is and what could be, and... I've got to say, I love the closing line. It just kind of wraps up everything, you know, of whom I was intended to always truly be, purpose found in imploding mockery. I will just pick out some of my really absolute favorite things that you said in here. Released from Lucifer's free fall, clouded sheets are comfy. Devastating when the cold swallows love whole. There's a couple of my others. Caramel-coated occasions when you were free. Wait, was I ever really confined in your debacle intent of controlled debation? Oh, wow, I love that one too. There's just so much in here that you just kind of verbally just put out there for the world to say, take me, leave me, whatever. I am what I am, and this is who I am, and I'm growing, and you've just got to either be in my way or I'm going to run you the hell over. It's brilliant, sir. And becoming you is you, and let no one hold you back. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this?
Unmuted.
She flew away.
Pretty Bird, where'd you go? Oh, Pretty Bird.
Were you guys calling me?
So, go ahead. Give me your thoughts.
I would like to talk about Sinister's here because I love Sinister's work, man. I mean, Sinister spells. His reads alone are just epic. I mean, every time I listen to him read, I get like creative jealousy because I wish I could read a poem like he can. And it's just, for real, I mean, he just blows it away. And he always has a very unique perspective, I find. To me, I love this 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the fifth and sixth of his stanzas here between the separating little one lines, I love the Still Shivers My Heart and Soul Behind Metallic Manipulations of the Endeavor. Brass Tacks, My Deal, Out of Reach Like Keys, Just Shy, Am I of Escape, Contorted Confusion, As I Rust Internally in Copper Shaded Instances of Despair, Wind Swept Your Slighted Allocation, Alu, Cushion of Keymaster on Rock and Roll Aesthetics. It was just like, damn, I like every time I hear Sinister Reed, it's like he's just telling it like it is to me, and I just love it. That's all I gotta say.
And Chaos, your thoughts?
I gotta agree to you about listening to Sin Reed. I call it spitting wild. That's what I call it. Especially if I'm watching him, because, you know, I've seen him do a few videos. He also does, like, open mics where he lives, and I've seen some videos of him doing open mics. He's very animated and very expressive when he reads, and that's my phrase for him, spitting wild. But anyway, he's a very, very passionate person. I'm loving this. The very final stanza is absolutely my favorite. I truly, truly smiled at the very end. I am the conundrum incarnate whom friends but giggles as well, and the re-embodiment of whom I was intended to always truly be, purpose bound in imploding debauchery that is sin. Loved man.
Yeah.
Blinders are strands of your disparaging my portals from relative view and caramel coated occasion when we were free. Was I ever really confined in your diabolical intent of contorted libations? I love that stanza right there. Absolutely brilliant. I have loved Sin's writing since the very first poem I read. He won gold in the first contest he ever entered on AP from the first time I ever read him. it was like first read. So
I understand.
Yeah,
that.
This is really awesome. I love this.
Awesome. And the Mad Hatter, your thoughts?
No, Chaos is right. Sin needs to be on stage and witnessed as he reads. It's emotional. I know you've been to hell and back, Sin, and to have you back reading shows your inner strength without question. You do have a unique way of writing and put your emotions down on words. I mean, I can't think of anybody that writes quite like you, and good to hear it back, have you back. More power to you, buddy.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you, Rick.
I appreciate everybody. I am going to, however, say goodnight. I am past my show's time. You guys were amazing. Thank you for coming to my show. Thank you for welcoming back to the radio. I am very excited. There's a couple of things lined up. In the next couple of months. So that will be very exciting too. See what they are. I know I have them. Da, 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 da. Next week's show is... Next week's show is Suspicion. Are you a suspicious person about a crime, about your spouse, about a child? Do you have trust and doubt? So that is next week's topic. And on the 17th, topic is trapped. Are you trapped in a job, a relationship, in a rut, or are you trapped in a nightmare or a daydream? And those are the next couple of shows I have coming up. Pretty excited with all that. Thank you again for letting me have a fabulous show, and I hope everybody has a wonderful day. So that's it for tonight, you guys. Thank you. Thank you 1,000 times over for coming in and having this sweet discussion. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Night.
Thank you, Pete.
Bye.
Night.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye, guys.
Sweet. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks. Good night, guys. Good night. Bye.
Good night, guys. Hi, Cass. Please.
No.